The white cane is a vital mobility tool. As well as helping many blind people navigate their world independently, the white cane is recognized around the world as a symbol. It clearly tells people that the cane's user is a person with vision loss. But is the cane ready for a rethink? Some students at Birmingham City University are developing a white cane that uses smartphone technology to help blind people identify friends and family around them instantly. The Explore Mobility cane can alert the user when it identifies someone from their contact list. I asked one of the co-designers, Wahid Rafiq, how it works.
It works by having a camera built into the stick. It basically has a facial recognition camera, GPS and an object avoidance system. So if it detects an object, it will stop and start scanning for a face. And if that face is detected, it will go into your database, which will be linked to your Outlook or your Gmail account or maybe corporate Exchange server. And if it finds a face with a match, it will then say, John Smith detected coworker or, you know, Mary Jones relative.
And it also has some ability to kind of guide the user towards that person.
Yes.
That's been recognized?
Yes. Basically, it will have the, because we're still prototyping and researching at this stage, it will have the ability to navigate the user to from home to work or wherever the user wishes to go.
Oh, so using like GPS and Google Maps or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, Google Map, yeah, and it's indoor mapping as well. So if the user wants to go to the bathroom, it could use the stick and say bathroom, and the stick will actually guide the user to the bathroom.
So what have been some of the challenges in designing this?
Quite a lot. The actual challenge, first of all, was that from our focus groups that we attended in France, Luxembourg via the Lila project, and in UK, what we realized in the blind community that the ears are their eyes as well as the sound, and therefore anything blocking that will cause a problem. So we envision that that the way the communication from the device to the user will be is done by either Bluetooth or via bone conductive technology.
So the issue with the ears is just that people can't essentially wear something like headphones that would talk somebody through it, because then it would cut out all the other auditory information that they might need, right?
Yeah, true. Because if the user had a earpiece fitted in, some users will find it difficult because they use all of the sensors together. Others will find it okay, reasonable, because they could use the other ear as a sensor. But in order to stay safe, we're going to be introducing a bone conductive technology where it doesn't block the ear at all, and therefore they'll be able to listen to normal sound, and the stick will only interfere if it detects an object or a person present as known to the system, and will alert them of that.
Right. How does this fit in with your broader area of study? Like, what are you guys studying in school?
We're doing ICT, information technology, so it integrated into it. It fits in nicely, but we are having to put in extra hours, and that really has, you know, it's a lot of pressure, mm-hmm. hard work, but hopefully will pay off, because it's been our dream, you know, to do something positive for the community around us. And the visually impaired have been neglected so much that, you know, that, and I think it will mean a lot for us emotionally, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It kind of makes you wonder about all the opportunities in IT for, you know, now that we have the ability to make smart objects, we could revisit all kinds of analog assistive technologies and add some smart technology.
Absolutely. I mean, the market out there for, you know, enhancing analog devices are, you know, huge. So anybody, any student out there, whether you're visually impaired or you're dyslexic or you're physically disabled, I'd say, you know, research into it and never give up.
So where are you at in development? Are we likely to see this as an actual product on the market anytime soon?
Yes, we have got vast amount of interest from private sectors. We have got vast amount of interest from the medical societies. And we're setting our first milestone that by next year, the very basic first smart Explore cane stick will be in production. Although we're still researching and prototyping, you know, we were setting our very realistic milestone that we think that we can achieve. If not within the first year, second year, it will be done. So 2 years' time, I envision, you know, that this Explore cane will be in the user's hands.
Waheed, thanks for telling us about it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Waheed Rafiq is an information and communications technology student at Birmingham City University and one of the designers of the Explore mobility cane. As well as changing the way a blind person navigates his or her surroundings, a technology like the Explore mobility cane could change aspects of how a person with vision loss navigates socially. This is an area I wanted to explore, so I got in touch with Ryan Knighton. Ryan's the author of Come On, Papa and Cockeyed, two internationally acclaimed books about his life as a blind person. I wanted his personal reflection on this type of new navigation tech. Hi, Ryan.
Hey.
So first off, tell me about your daily experience of coming across people that you know. How do you recognize people?
Well, I guess the short answer is I don't. So I mean, I'm sort of pinballing down the street, and my typical experience would be that either you hail me and say, "Hey, Ryan, it's Nora,"
right.
Or I don't know you're there, and you can slip by me, and I wouldn't know any better anyway, so nobody feels bad about it. And so people can judge whether or not they want to talk to me. But I have this sort of funny feeling like the genre it seems to come across as is when you say, "Hey, Ryan," If I don't expect it's you because I'm out in a street somewhere, I have no context for your voice. I don't tend to recognize it right away. But if you say, "Hey, Ryan, it's Nora," then I respond as if I'm answering the door. I'm like, "Oh, hey, how are you?" Like right. You just showed up on my porch. So it has that kind of strange social cue in it.
Yeah. And so what do you think of the smart cane's ability to recognize faces of people in your contact list?
It's such a weird thing because you spend so much of your life when you become blind learning how to forego the things that everybody else does and takes for granted, and to have a technology come back in and say, "Oh, you can have that back, by the way."
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you have to recalibrate your whole way of thinking about how you live. Like, it changes my idea of public space again. Because right now, I mean, I've sort of gotten accustomed to this very quiet life where I go down the road and it's like I live in a Pope mobile. You know,
right.
I just don't know what's out there. There's no words being pressed to my face. I don't know how you guys put up with people giving you looks that you can get neurotic about.
Like,
you know, do they look mean at me or not? And so to have a technology that would put back into my hand this idea of I can see somebody out there at a distance, and recognize them coming, then I have to deal with all that stuff of like, oh, do I acknowledge them or not? You know, I can't hide anymore.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's going to force me to actually interact with people in a way that I'm not used to anymore.
You have this idea that there's a kind of like a cognitive privacy that you have in virtue of the fact that you're not constantly being confronted with people that you recognize or people who may be looking at you and you're wondering how they're looking at you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a strange quiet. I don't think I'll ever die of like a heart attack because, you know, you don't walk around the public world worrying about what people mean by that, by a look or by, you know, you recognize somebody across the street and you think they saw you, but you're not sure if they did. And now you worry about whether or not they did see you, because if they did, why didn't they talk to you? And I just don't have any of that noise. And frankly, I don't know how you guys live like that.
So this cane also gives you the ability to get turn-by-turn directions. Is that something that you would find useful or valuable?
Yeah. I mean, my original understanding was I thought it was just connected to like Google Maps or Apple Maps. And in that sense, it would be really kind of a redundant technology because I already use my phone for that. My phone already tells me where I am if I need it at that level. But if it had an iteration where it connected to a more nano map, like of the coffee shop I'm walking into, that would revolutionize getting around the world for me. Because the thing that I think it underscores is that blindness is primarily a mobility glitch. That's its primary manifestation in your life. And for me, you know, getting block to block and knowing it's this street versus this street is sort of the bluntest, easiest thing now. But to actually know, like, beside me is a doorway, that's the super hard thing.
Yeah.
And and what's behind that door, that it's actually like the music store I want to walk into. And then, you know, I can walk in and actually not bump over the stand of guitars. That would change my idea of walking around the public world completely.
Mm-hmm. Does anything else strike you about the smart cane idea?
There's a couple things. One is I'm curious how well it will work insofar as, you know, my cane, if you saw it, it looks like it's been chewed on by a tiger. Like, it's just so beat up because you're hitting things with it. And, you know, you swing it around and people trip on it, or maybe they accidentally step on it, or I've walked out of stores where I'm just sticking it ahead of me and nobody imagines it. It's coming. So it just gets run over by a bike that goes by.
Right.
I'm really curious how something that must be somewhat sensitive with electronics in it like this, how it's going to weather a disabled person flinging it around in a very unforgiving world. But it's pretty fascinating. And you just never know where these iterations are going to go. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's the main thing. Like, this one requires no commitment of my biology. I mean, they've talked about artificial retinas and things like that, but I just don't want to be the first guy to get in line to have you cut open my eye and stick your version of Pong in it.
Right.
And, you know, and in 15 years, Nintendo comes out.
Yeah.
So the fact that this requires no commitment of my body to it, that's pretty good.
So if you could design a new technology that would help you navigate your world as a blind person, what would it do for you?
I think the primary one is that kind of nano mapping that they're talking about of indoor spaces, that kind of thing. I don't know really beyond that because, I think the next one for me beyond that would be the driverless car. I mean, if you had those two things together, the interface of a blind person with a city at all its levels of space now, because you can move through across the city very quickly, independently, and you can move inside something very efficiently by yourself and do your business. That sort of solves a huge chunk of the mobility glitches that you encounter as a blind person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, between a driverless car and a kind of smart cane, you think of like how big a leap that goes from having a dog guide you onto a bus and you folding up what is basically just a stick in your hand. I mean, that is going from the caveman era to Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know.
Ryan, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks.
Ryan Knighton is the author of Come On, Papa and Cockeyed.